You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking again about the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is something you're supposed to be looking for right now, reaching out and trying to find it. You're also supposed to be seeking the righteousness of God. Unfortunately, modern ministers aren't telling you what righteousness is. They're saying it's okay to covet your neighbor's goods. It's okay to pray to the fathers of the earth. They don't even tell you who the fathers of the earth are. They don't even tell you who the benefactors are that exercise authority. But with you about a thimbleful of common sense, you can realize who is the benefactor of most people in the world today that exercises authority one over the other. Who is it that does that? Well, it's government. Government takes away from your neighbor and gives you what you think you need or you want. That's what it does. And now, governments have done a lot of things over the years. Usually they provided protection from foreign invasion, etc. But now they provide you from protection from hunger and cold and thirst, and you don't have a house, they'll get you a house. They don't have a coat, they'll get you a coat. But they only get these things by taking away from your neighbor. They use force to take away from your neighbor. This divides society. This is not the perfect law of liberty. This is the law of force. This is the law of control. This is the way of Babylon. This is the way of Nimrod. It's the way of Sodom. And we're going to get certain results when you do that. If you were living according to the perfect law of liberty, which Christ preached, which John the Baptist preached, which meant you had to take care of one another, but you had to do it through free will offerings. This is what Moses said. Love thy neighbor as thyself. And love in the New Testament, where you see the word love, the same word is translated charity many, many times. Every time Paul says it almost, they translate it charity. Because that's love. That's love in action, where you actually help people. You don't help people who are lazy so that they can stay lazy. You don't help people who don't want to work so that they don't have to work. You help people who are trying to do the right thing and need a little help from time to time. And in order to do that, you got to educate yourself about who's who. One of the ways to do that is to gather in a network so that people in charge of that network, not in charge of the people, just in charge of the connections in the network, can keep an eye on who goes around all the time looking, oh, I need a place to stay. Oh, I'll come and help you. But when they come, all they do is make trouble. Well, that's what your ministers are supposed to do, guard against that. See, they're guarding you against foreign invasion, invasion of people who say they're something and they're not. And they know who these people are because, you know, what goes around comes around, and they start seeing them. And that's one of the things that we see in the little tiny network that we've got started. But you should be joining that network and helping us build, seek, strive, establish the kingdom of God. And we do this simply by witnesses. You don't do it by taking oaths. We don't bind you. But there's a certain way in which the kingdom operates. Now, just before I sat down here today to do this show, this is the third hour today that we've been doing, I checked email, and somebody wrote me an email. And in that email, they asked a number of questions. I was going to follow up on questions they'd asked the night before, but now I'll take a look at some of these. And because it has a little bit to do with this morning's show, where some people, you know, we explained, you know, own all things in common. That wasn't the general people. That was the ministers. They didn't own all things in common. They held things common. In other words, they were joint heirs to the offerings of Christ. Because those offerings of Christ, I mean, Christ doesn't need your money. We don't need to build big cathedrals or anything like that. We don't need to put up statues. We don't need a big screen TV and a band and all those kinds of things. If we need those, we'll get them. But the reality is what you need is to create a daily ministration that takes care of the needy of your society so that you will be prepared when the unrighteous system, the unrighteous mammon or system of social welfare collapses and breaks down. Because when it breaks down, everything's going to break down. All economy is going to break down. Now we see, you know, the system already breaking down. It's bankrupt and we've got inflation, you know, a few rounds of double digit inflation and your EBT card isn't going to buy you enough food to live on. So you're going to have to take it from somebody else. And that somebody else may be a hardworking individual and you're going to steal their food. So who's going to protect them? How are they going to protect themselves? The government's going to have its hands full. I mean, it's just going to be an absolute total mess. You add a few more factors to that, you know, like maybe the power outage, nationwide power outage. That's possible. The government's even predicted it. You could, you know, we've got a dam in California that could break and flood, you know, tens of thousands of acres, but it would also cut off water supply for Southern California. You could have runaway inflation for, you know, 6 months and you would have people going hungry. If you had the power go out, the estimates by the government, and there's two different things that could cause the power to go out nationwide. The estimates by the government is that 90% of the people in America would be dead after the first year. Now, does that mean you should run to the hills and get a little cabin up in the woods and fill it full of, you know, beans and rice and save yourself? Well, no, that's not what that means at all. It means that what you should be doing all along is seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, which is an actual system of self-government and charity, and it only works for people who have the character of Christ in their hearts and mind. Now, some of the people who have that character of Christ a little bit in their hearts and mind are deeply enmeshed in the system. They're dependent upon the system because that's what they were raised in and they didn't know any better. And the system today is a socialist system in every single country. Now, there may be mixes of that, social democracies and maybe not so democratic, maybe more communist. I mean, communism thinks they're democratic. They just have one candidate. We, in America, we think we're democratic because we have two candidates. But it usually doesn't make any difference which one you elect. You're still going to get more of the same. You may get it at little different rates, and they're going to emphasize this more than that. But we've had a steady direction towards progressive socialism for the last 50 years, 50 to 100 years. And it's getting worse. And your money is the socialist money. And that's one of the things he was asking about. You know, people are forced to buy things with debt notes. Well, you're not actually forced to buy things. It's just that most people want them. And I've told stories, and we have recording that explains this. People can go into our archives, and we're categorizing them. We could use more help categorizing them. And we've got hundreds of recordings that nobody has even taken the time. I mean, lots of people have listened to them. Thousands of people have listened to them. But we have very limited staff here because we don't pay anybody. This is all voluntary. It's a voluntary society. If you don't have a voluntary society, you don't have a free society. This is what the perfect law of liberty that Paul talks about. It's a voluntary society where people get together and help out. So we had people listening to audios and putting in keywords about the things that we talk about and some of the questions that we answer. And then you can do a word search and find the audio that you want to listen to that answers the question you want to listen to. I mean, we have several audios on socialism. So should I go through here and explain the difference between socialism and capitalism? We have audios that go all the way through the book Covenants of the God. We have the book Covenants of the God free online. You just join the network. They'll show you it. They'll tell you where it is. They'll help you go through it and study it. They'll answer questions that you have. And that's the beginning of moving towards a society that operates according to the perfect law of liberty. People helping each other out. I mean, we've had people want, oh, well, we have to create our own money. No. What is the purpose of that? create your own money and give it to selfish people so they can continue to be selfish with their own money. For one thing, most of those people are already merchandise. We covered this in the first two shows. We've covered it many times before. Paul said, or Peter said, that through covetous practices, you'd be made merchandise. There's all kinds of guys on the internet that say, you know, your birth certificate is in your surety for debt. And it's true. But there's no solution in knowing that. You know, that's like telling a one-legged man you have a leg missing. He already knows that. That's why he doesn't have a leg there. He sees that there's no leg there. So why are you telling people that Federal Reserve notes have no value? They have no value. Now, for the real simple-minded, Federal Reserve tells you that Federal Reserve notes have no value. They say that on their website. Of course, most people don't go there and read that. They think, well, of course it has value. I went and bought a candy bar at the store today with a Federal Reserve note, and they took it. And if you went in there with real money and tried to give it to them, which I tell stories about, actually do it, they don't want real money. They want the note. And the problem is, if you buy land, you buy a car, you buy anything with a note, you don't really buy the thing. That's the law. I didn't make it up. That's just the way it is. But you have the thing. And that's what most people are interested in. They want to have the thing now. They want to satisfy their own desires. That's why people overeat. That's why they eat too much. And they get overweight. Is they want to satisfy their desires. Until they deal with that, wanting to satisfy their desires, there's absolutely no reason to give them real money. They would just squander it. They're not even righteous in the unrighteous mammon because they're not living a life of charity and love and sacrifice for others. They're dependent upon others. They have to, you know, stop being self-indulgent, start sacrificing for the love of others, and things will get better. They will get better. They must change their thinking. You cannot change the environment. You give somebody, you know, I mean, there's actually, I was trying to think of a couple stories, and there are a lot of books where, you know, you take people out of, well, look at the story of Moses. He took the people out of the bondage of Egypt, and they weren't out there hardly any time at all. I mean, he'd save them from the Pharaoh's army and everything. And the next thing you know, they want to erect a golden calf, which is really a central bank. We've explained that. All the city-states had these golden statues or images on embossed things that they put up. That was a way of storing wealth. It was actually called in the Greek the reserve fund. And occasionally they melted them down in order to pay for expenses. But that was a way to store that wealth. I mean, we're so stupid now, we supposedly have all our gold in Fort Knox, but it probably isn't there, and we probably don't own it anyway, because the nation is bankrupt. But the reality is that's what they were doing. They were going right back to the same type of system they had in Egypt, with different people, but same system, because they hadn't changed yet. They had to go through more hard times. Now, they'd gone through some hard times. They'd gone through severe depressions and famines and plagues and fire and brimstone and everything that was coming down, which was, you know, volcanoes in the distance and causing all kinds. It might have actually not been volcanoes. That's what some say that it was. But the fact that all these bad things were happening forced them to get together and start providing, you know, drinking water was a problem. When all the water was contaminated by this red tide bacteria, what could they drink? And it was stinking up everything. It was making the animals sick. It would make them sick. So they had to filter that water. And that's what they did. And Philo talks about it, where they made these clay vases that would filter that water. Drinking water is going to be a big problem in America if the power goes out. Probably a third of the people will die from bad drinking water, because all the sewage is just going to go untreated into the rivers, and then people are going to be drinking that, and they're going to pick up the existing parasites plus the cholera and everything else that's going to be going down the river, and it will kill millions and millions of people. But I could show you how to make a water filter out of naturally occurring items that you find in nature, and you could make a water filter that would keep you safe. And I could teach thousands and thousands of people how to do this, but we need people's support in order to start such projects. We actually have some videos up that show how to make a simple water filter if you already have, the clay water filter, which, ceramic water filter. That's what they were making. That's what those vases were. And they actually still make those in some of those areas of the world. They know how to make them. And you can make them with nothing but primitive tools. You don't need anything special, but you don't know how. And we should be teaching everybody how to do this. This is one of the things that won favor of the Israelites with the Egyptians, is that they showed people how to do this so that they helped them out. They were the emergency ministry auxiliary for many of the Egyptians, because they were being taught by Moses what to prepare for, because he knew what was coming. And they were teaching the Egyptians and helping the Egyptians survive some of these difficulties while the government was in disarray and immersed in bureaucracy, which we already see in America with FEMA. But the Faith Emergency Ministry Auxiliary, we see some of that rising up, some churches working a little bit, but they really don't know what they're doing yet, and things really aren't bad. But we see that spirit starting to rise up. Well, we need to get thousands of people involved in teaching these things and many more. Infections. What do you do about infections when the medicine cabinet runs out? What do you do about all kinds of things, all kinds of problems that will come up that will be new? Well, we could go out and try to teach everybody, but really we want to teach people who are coming together the way the Israelites came together, the way the early church came together, the way that people need to come together in order to survive hard times. We don't want to be teaching bad people good things. We want to teach good people good things so that they can take good to other people. But that takes cooperation. So everybody listening to this should go to the websites, preparingyou.com, itsholychurch.org, and join the network in your local area, whether you live in Bulgaria or Canada or Australia or wherever. You should join the network. Connect with those people who are active in the network that have formed a core group, what we call core groups, which is really just an acronym for a congregation of recorded elders. And those groups are just free assemblies. They're not corporations. They're not unincorporated associations. They are just free assemblies. And start working on these things. And then we will find out those people who are dedicated, who stick at it, who don't divide people with doctrines and theologies and things that Christ didn't say. Christ made it really clear. Just love one another. Take care of one another. Do right by one another. Tend to the weightier matters of law, judgment, mercy, and faith for one another. You can't change the world. You can change. And you can gather together with other people who want that same change in them, which is back to living according to the perfect law of liberty. So one of the things he was saying, it seems that I talk about certain parts of the picture and what people should do charitably. But how do they do it? People don't understand the philanthropic nature of the kingdom. Well, come as difficulties arise. It's a learn by doing thing. You're not going to read a book and understand the kingdom of God. I mean, it's all in the Bible. It tells you in the Bible. People read the Bible and they completely miss it. I mean, you can go to, and I've told this story 100 times, but a whole room full of ministers, 100 years or more of study between them all, and ask them, what did Jesus list off as the weightier matters, which he calls it the weightier matters in most translations. And they didn't know. All those ministers, and they did not know what the weightier matters were. They couldn't list them off. And yet this is out of Jesus' own mouth. and they didn't know what I was talking about. They are dead. They are the blind leading the blind. Now, some of them are really nice guys, but they're blind. They don't understand the gospel. They don't understand what Christ is talking about. They know there's something important there, and they love talking about Jesus. But when you really get them down to doing what Jesus said to do, they got that deer in the headlight look, that zombie look. Like, I have to do that? I mean, I have to do something? I have to seek something? I have to strive for something? All words that Jesus has used. Strive, seek, persevere. But they don't want to do it. It's not complicated. It's a learn by doing. You don't learn about charity by reading a book. You learn about charity by doing it. We have a whole book that explains the Federal Reserve System, explains why notes end up giving you legal title, and that legal title is not a lawful title, and legal title doesn't include a beneficial interest. And it has 700, 800, 900 footnotes, whichever book you want to read first, that explains where we get this. We're not making it up. It's there. And we're not mad about it. We're not upset about it. We go like, oh my gosh, I went the wrong way. I mean, what? You find out you've been going down the road the wrong way, you can start cussing and swearing and swinging your hands and throwing a fit and whine and whine and whine. How does that get you closer back to where you need to go? No, you have to turn around and start going that other way. That's what repentance means. To think another way and to go that other way. To turn around and operate in that other direction. So anyway, a couple other things he said. Debt notes to discharge their debt. You cannot discharge a debt with a note. That's fundamental law, Stanek versus White. We cover that in Law versus Legal, which is second or third chapter of the book Covenants of the Gods. It's free online. It's in HTML, PHP, PDF format. It's all there for free. And if you join the network in your area, and you ask these questions, there will be people that show you where the answers are. And you can go into it in real great depth. You can go in a little at a time. You can read it. You can listen to it. You can do all kinds of things. But we already explained all that. We've done that, been there. We got the T-shirt. We give it away for free. You just have to decide whether you want to go that. But you have to start thinking without selfishness, without self-serving approach to life. Your approach to life has to be to serve others, not your own personal self-indulgence. That is essential, because that's going to change things. You are where you are because you coveted your neighbor's goods, your neighbor's food, your neighbor's whatever. And if you don't change that, then the fact is you can't change it on your own. If you aren't willing to be changed, if you aren't willing to seek that, look at your problems and seek this alternative way and sacrifice when necessary to go that other way, it doesn't do me any good to tell me for me to tell you that you went down the wrong road. It doesn't do any good for me to give you detailed instructions about what road you should be on, because you're not turning around. You're not going the other way. You don't have to turn all the way around in a flash and just simply, slam the car in reverse. You have to start changing your ways in any way, all kinds of way. The way you work, the way you help others, the way you eat, the way you do everything you do. The way you talk about other people, the way you talk about the system. Are you walking in forgiveness? Are you walking in giving? Because this is going to change. When you begin to change spiritually, deep down inside you, where the problems all originated, you begin to change the aura around you. Let's put it that way. Somebody was talking about aura the other day. You'll begin to change the aura around you. And how that aura works and how it functions.
This is critical to understanding the kingdom and the kingdom way, because to really understand is not a mental thing. It's partly mental. Because Jesus talks about, I will write my laws in your heart and in your mind. So yeah, I could explain these things over and over again and have for decades now. Have hundreds of recordings. But that's, I'm talking to your mind. God can talk to your heart. You know, that same word, you know, your heart, your soul, your life. He can speak into your life. And when that begins to happen, and you begin to listen there, and not just mentally in your head, then making these changes, you will start to change automatically. You won't have to even do anything. You'll just start to change. This is a miraculous thing about seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. It doesn't matter where you start from, because everybody's in a little bit different place. It's a matter of, I mean, take a look at yourself. What is your biggest problem? Maybe you don't want to start with your biggest problem. Let's start with some of your smaller problems. What problem rises to the surface first? Deal with that. Deal with that problem. Now, you can't deal with it with your will. You have to see it. And you deal with it with God's will. You say, I can clearly see that the reason I have this problem is my own willfulness. Now I'm going to, not my will, but thine will. I'm going to do what I know is right, and I'm not going to deviate from it. And if you want to enlist help in doing that, then confess your problem to others and tell them that you need help, and then they can help arrange some way to help you do what you need to do, whatever it is that you need to do. And that's different with everybody. So there's no way I can sit up here and give you an exact detailed, this is what you have to do, and you have to go this way, and you have to do this, and dot this I and that T. It just doesn't work that way. You have to do this other thing for yourself. But it has to be based on the idea of not being selfish. Being selfless, laying down your life, your will, your desire for the good of somebody else. And of course, from the beginning, God created the earth. He made man, woman, you know, man and woman separately. And then they co-create the next generation. And that involves a great deal of sacrifice. Now, he put some good things in there, but it requires a great deal of sacrifice. And that's, you know, that's one of the big problems in America today is husbands are leaving their wives and wives are leaving their husbands and they're cheating on each other and they're adulterating their marriages. And they can do this emotionally. They don't have to always do it with sexual adultery. They may do it with an emotional adultery where they start putting somebody else as more important than their husband or their wife or their children. That's one of the things that God gives us children, and then we have to think about our children. And we can do that together. And then when they're all grown up, then supposedly we have this emptiness, the empty nest thing. And so then you have to fill it with something else. Well, it's all about caring about others. You see, because when you really care about others, the life that's in you flows from inside out. When you care about yourself, you will reach outside and pull life in. And this is why people overeat, is that they're pulling life in from outside, trying to fill a void in themselves. But then you have people that are bulimic, that have a weight problem where they overeat, but then they vomit it up or whatever. They have an eating disorder and they always think that I'm eating too much, I'm getting new fat, and they're real picky eaters and all this stuff, and they get skinnier and skinnier and skinnier. I've seen people just literally wasting away. But that's because they're feeding on the guilt. They're not feeding on the food, they're feeding on the guilt, and they're making themselves martyrs because they're feeding on the pride of that, you know, guilt and judgment. They're judging themselves. You're not supposed to judge others. You're not supposed to judge yourself. So it all can get all mixed up and chaotic. Why aren't you just eating normally? Why aren't you just getting the sleep that you need, getting, why aren't you working and trying to make a living for yourself? And why aren't you supporting your family? And why aren't you doing these things? Because you're distracted. Your vanity, your pride, all these things, they're all involved in it. Now, that's another thing that we offer is we will help you and counsel you and help you overcome your individual problems. And we can do that. We can do it in several different ways. We can do it on the phone. We can do it at a retreat. We can set it up so that people can come here and we will deal with them on a one-on-one basis or in group basis, and we'll help them begin to take care of themselves. We don't want to make them dependent upon us. We want them to be dependent upon Christ and this Holy Spirit. And how do we do that? You do that through this process that we call seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And that can be in every aspect of your life. And you have to do it according to the perfect law of liberty. And you have to not forsake the gathering together, because in that gathering together, we test one another. We test the inclination of our own hearts and our minds so that we can learn about ourselves, about the weaknesses in ourselves. And what happens then when you're starting to reach out to do things, you know, people go to church because they want to feel good. They go to church because they want, you know, a certain experience. They sing certain songs because that gives them a feeling, etc., etc. They listen to a preacher because he gives them a feeling. But that's all stuff from the outside coming in, wrong direction. You want, the kingdom of heaven is within. You want it, but you can't see it because you got all this garbage in there, all these ideas in there, all this guilt in there, all this trauma in there, and you won't look inside to see yourself. But when you're willing to look inside and see yourself and start doing things for others, then now the flow is the other way. The energy that is coming, you're tapping into an inner core self. And that takes it, you know, it's like aiming, you know, with a scope where you kind of have to zoom in and then pinpoint. And so you have to look deeper and deeper into yourself and tap into that inexhaustible energy of the kingdom of God. And then it starts feeding you energy, but then you have to immediately give that out to others, serving others. Sometimes serving others means chastising others, scolding them. I do it all the time. I've been doing it for the last half hour. But you do it out of love because you want to help people. You want to waken the dead. You want them to get better. You want them to start finding that perfect law of liberty and the life that it gives. When you tap into that inner life by looking deep into your own soul and being willing to see the junk that's in there, kind of clean house, now that energy can go out to others. And when it goes out to others to do right, to do, you know, that righteousness that he's talking about, now you change that flow, and that flow can increase and increase. And then you'll see more about yourself, and then the flow will increase, and you'll give it out more, and before you know it, you'll see miracles. But instead, people are getting distracted. They're not being told the truth. They're not being told how one seeks the kingdom of God and his righteousness. They're not being told how to tap into that energy. And so they don't see the miracles, the healing, the touching. Actually, you could actually touch people, and they would get better. But if you're doing this with the, I mean, anybody could do that, actually. Many people have. But you want to do it with that energy that Christ was using, which he called virtue. And that means that you have to clean out your own heart, your own tabernacle, and then allow that energy to come out and go out the other way. I think somebody wants to, has a question. We will probably take a break first, and then we'll be back to Keys of the Kingdom, and maybe we'll take some callers. Okay, well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. Talking about taking a couple of calls here. I'm not sure. Let's see. I haven't done this too much, hello. Did you have a question?
Yes. Good afternoon, brother. I was wondering if you had any thoughts on the supposed changes in the Bible, at least according to those that know what the Mandela effect is.
No.
Well, because people are saying that it used to be lion and the lamb, but now it's the wolf and the lamb, you know, certain little things like that.
Well, I don't see what difference that would make too much. You're talking about a predator and a lamb. Do you follow the show at all? Do you know anything about our material, or are we?
Can't say that I do. I just tuned in randomly, so I'm sorry if I'm throwing off the flow of your program.
You know, we have tons and tons of information about how the Old Testament was translated, how it's been misused, and we have all kinds of footnotes and explanations as to how this works. But basically, yeah, that's not even it's not a very relevant question. I would recommend that you listen a little bit more. Take a look at the materials at Preparing You or at HisHolyChurch.org, and then see if you have a question about the materials that we offer. I mean, you could spend probably the next month and not get through those pages. There's so much information. There's search engines on every page. So basically, we don't pursue all kinds of other doctrines that other people have and ideas that other people have. We've looked at these things. We've laid things out. And now we're trying to promote simply the doctrines of Christ. And that will cover the Old Testament as well, because the Old Testament and the New Testament are saying exactly the same thing. But most people don't understand that Old Testament. So anyway, we'll take another call. But let's try to keep the questions to relevant materials that we're dealing with. Thank you for your call. And I will take calls. And I will take questions, but let's try to keep it on the material. We have an abundance of material. We're probably one of the most controversial churches out there. We're not a cult. We actually have quite a few articles on what to look for in a cult based on what everybody else tells you you're supposed to look for. And we're the exact opposite. We're not trying to control your life. We're bearing witness, and we've done our homework, to what Christ was saying, and we're saying that what Christ was saying was what Moses was saying. And Moses led the people out of the bondage of Egypt, and Christ led them out of the bondage to Herod and the Roman Empire, and taught them what they were going to need to survive the decline and fall of the Roman Empire, which took a long time, a couple hundred years. You've rebuilt the Roman Empire. You're back in the bondage of Egypt. I mean, you had to pay 20% of everything you made to the government in Egypt, and you called that bondage. Today, you have to pay 30, 40, 50, 60% of what you produce in income tax and property tax and sales tax and gas tax. It's all, you start adding that up, and there's very little left over for you. You're back in the bondage of Egypt, which was prophesied. You have become surety for debt, which was prophesied. You have become merchandise, in other words, a commodity, which was prophesied you would do because of your covetous practices. So now we're trying to show you, let's not follow those covetous practices of seeking benefits at the expense of your neighbor through men who exercise authority, but let's start seeking the kingdom of God through that perfect law of liberty, where you start taking care of yourselves and one another. And we don't want to get distracted with all kinds of doctrines and debates and that sort of thing. And we've had crank calls come on before. And I should make a list of all the telephone numbers of these crank calls that come on. But it'll be up to each individual to look at the material, listen to what we have to say, and ask questions about that, because we can go down a million rabbit holes. And some of those holes are not rabbit holes, they're badger holes. And I can tell the difference between a badger hole and a rabbit hole. Because I live out in the desert. and it's very clear that we were headed for a badger hole there. But we don't even want to go down a bunch of rabbit holes that will distract us from the message. Things like, I mean, there's all kinds of words in the Old Testament, in the Greek and in the Hebrew, where the words can be translated several different ways. You know, it's like people saying Jesus is a carpenter. Nowhere in the Bible, in the Greek text, does it suggest that Jesus is a carpenter. Not even slightly does it suggest that Jesus is a carpenter or that Joseph was a carpenter. Joseph was actually a construction, you know, contractor, big time, made mega bucks. He was very wealthy, very rich, and so was Jesus' family, extremely wealthy people. This idea that he was poor has been created so that a wealthy church can tell you people that Jesus made himself poor so that you should be content with being poor too. I don't want you to be content with being poor. I want you to be as successful as you can. But I want you to be successful so that you can learn to share that success with those that need help becoming successful. Not those who want help doing nothing or being lazy or being selfish. I want you to prosper. I want you to be healthy. I want you to help other people prosper and help other people be healthy. Not so that you can have a big fancy car and fancy clothes and in a big screen TV and be self-indulgent, but so that you can start developing the character that is necessary in a free society. Free society is a voluntary society where people take care of one another when they really need help. A lot of people who think they need help, they need a kick in the hind end and to get busy and to start taking care of themselves. The last thing they need is an EBT card. But that's the world is going to make those people weak, and it's going to make them selfish, and they love it. But it's going to, what you've done is you've created a nation of absolute zombies that will, when times are bad, they will kill you and rob you and cheat you. And actually, many of them are doing that right now anyway. I mean, how many manufacturers are making food that is actually poisoning the people that are buying the food? How many people are growing food that is... Now, some people are growing food that's poisoning people, and they don't know it because they've trusted in the wrong people who told them lies. America has come to the point where it is on the verge of absolute starvation. I mean, it would take almost nothing, and this whole nation would be plumbed into famine like you could not imagine. And people have no idea how to protect themselves against that. And the idea of buying, you know, 1,000 pounds of freeze-dried food is not the solution. And I don't care if you do that or not, but that isn't the solution. The solution, because you're going to need a lot more than you can store up in your bunker. You're going to need other people that have this ability to see the truth and accept the truth and to do something about it. And the first truth you need to see is the truth about yourself and is what is in your heart and what is in your mind. So anyway, one of the things I was going to talk to you about is that perfect law of liberty, which we see in James 1:25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. If you're not a part of that, you'll have deeds, but you won't be blessed in them. You'll do things that look like they're going to turn out for your betterment, and they actually turn out for the worst. I mean, you'll store up all this food and in your bunker and all this stuff, and your buddy will turn on you. I mean, the last place I'd want to be is in a bunker with a bunch of guys who are intent on surviving at all costs, and the food runs out. Because suddenly you're on the menu. You're in trouble. And what we're mostly about is trying to tell you what has been forgotten. That was one of the things. Lord of the Rings, you have the quote, and some things that should not have been forgotten were lost. History became legend, and legend became myth. And the reality is that if you actually were going the way of the kingdom instead of the way of Balaam, which all your Christian churches, all your modern Christian churches have been teaching the way of Balaam. Really? Almost every modern Christian church, almost every, not everyone, there's some of them that are actually not too far from the kingdom. And in all those churches, there are people that would not be far from the kingdom. I'm not condemning, you know, people in religions. I'm just saying that what they're teaching is a result of being blind guides. But those people are the Nicolaitans. And the Nicolaitans, what are the Nicolaitans are the people who have followed the way of Balaam. And if you go, we have articles up on the Nicolaitans and Balaam, and you can go and look at them, and it's got all kinds of footnotes. But it says, but this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Now that's in Revelation 2:6. Nico means conquered. Laetans means people. Balaam, it's the same thing. Lam, people. Baal, it has to do with conquer or oppress. Oppressed people. But they're oppressed because they've become merchandise. Because of their covetous practices. You know, the guy was mentioning Wolf. I could tell you this, that, and I mentioned this on the show, I think a week or two ago, the image of the wolf of Rome and the two babies, Romulus and Remus, nursing at the tits of the wolf. The wolf eats meat, but they drink milk. That's what your society has done. It's taking a bite out of one another. It is like a roaring lion going about seeing who it can devour, and it can devour those that are willing to take a bite out of one another. It not only devours you economically, emotionally, where you will send your sons and daughters to run before their chariots and to die for their behalf, but it actually mentally devours you. It changes the way you think. And you're conquered, not just because you're a surety for debt and your children are cursed with that debt that you've created through these systems that Jesus referred to as the weightier matters. What were those weightier matters I mentioned earlier? Law, judgment, mercy, faith. That's what it says. Well, law is you don't own your house, you don't own your car, you don't own yourself, you don't own your labor, you don't own your children. Your freedom is an illusion. You get to choose what flavor of coffee you're going to get, but you don't have many other choices other than that. You are in a bondage worse than ever before, which it said, it prophesied that you would be. You cannot buy your way out of it. You got nothing to buy your way out of it with. You cannot finagle your way out of it with legal tactics. You have to connect to something higher than yourself. And the way of the Nicolaitan draws you into because of the covetous practices. So you have to stop coveting one another's goods. Stop desiring the benefits from men who call themselves benefactors but simply take away from your neighbor. Because those men are wolves. They're glad to give you free milk and free cheese and free EBT cards, but they're wolves. And when they want, they'll just eat you. You'll get the milk until they want to eat you or eat your children. But you'll be subject to them. You'll be dependent upon them. Now, you can maybe become a wolf too and run with the wolves. But eventually, you'll be devoured too. You're choosing the way of death. And that's what it says. The way of the common purse in the Old Testament tells you that runs towards death. That the net is spread before you and you still fall into it. And why? Because you wanted benefits at the expense of your neighbor. You wanted to drink the blood of the innocent. Now that's a very metaphoric statement. I mean, you don't actually want to drink your neighbor's blood, but you want to force your neighbor to pay for your child's education. You want to force your neighbor to pay for your parents' Social Security needs, because the money they paid in, that's gone. You want to force your neighbor to pay for your health care. Maybe you don't want to, but you don't want to help your neighbor pay for, you know, if he has a need. I tell you, if you go the way that Christ was talking, this other way, which is the antithesis of the Nicolaitan, you've gone the way of the Nicolaitan, and the whole world is now in bondage. You have forsaken the right way, Peter says, and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozer, who loved the wages, the benefits. That's what that wages word means there. The benefits of unrighteousness. Because you wanted to take away from your neighbor. You wanted to be the wolf, but you didn't want to be the wolf, so you had somebody else be the wolf, and you just drink the milk. Yeah, I didn't want to say anything about it with the caller, but this whole thing of the Mandela effect is, you know, they get into the CERN time travel and everything else and alternate realities because everybody remembers something in the past that actually isn't the way it is. Their memory is that, you know, Mandela died in prison and that there's an alternate timeline and that the Bible said that the lion lays down with the lamb. And actually, the lion laying down with the lamb is because somebody painted a picture of the lion laying down with the lamb. They do this from Isaiah 11:6. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid. Actually, it has to do with crouch with the kid. And the calf and the young lion, the fatling, together with the little child shall lead them. But the wolf doesn't ever say the wolf is going to lie down with the lamb. It says dwell with the lamb. It actually means to take company with the lamb. The lamb and the wolf run together. And what's happening is that many Christians are in a system, and this has actually happened before, because they also equate this with Revelation, you know, 27 to verse 9, where they talk about the Gog and Magog and a thousand-year reign of Christ. Well, the thousand-year reign of Christ already took place because the Jews did accept Jesus, thousands by the thousands, which we see in Pentecost. But once people tell you things are a certain way, you think that you know what you're talking about. You've accepted them as an authority, and you've got it all balled up because you're not letting God write upon your heart. You're letting other men write upon your heart, which is why we kind of avoided the subject when the caller came in. It's not important. And like I said, if you go to Isaiah 65:25, which they seldom do, it says the wolf and the lamb shall feed together. Again, not lie down together, feed together. And the lion shall eat straw like the bullock The dust shall be the serpent's meat. You know, these are all metaphors, and you can go into them in great detail. But really, if you're following the Holy Spirit, if you're letting God write upon your mind and upon your heart, you're going to figure out what they're really trying to tell you. You don't need, you know, a little edge up by knowing prophecy. You'll know what to do for you and when to do it. It goes on to say, thou shalt not hurt nor destroy and all my holy mountains, saith the Lord. So the wolf and the lamb are feeding together, they're running together, and right now, many Christians are in a system of Rome, and they're feeding at the teat of Rome, and they actually should be Christians, but they need to wake up from what they're doing. No more milk. They need to eat the meat, but to eat the meat of Christ, to eat his body, and the way to do that is to start being charitable one with another. And, you know, so all these things, you can get lost in all this stuff, and many of these, you know, sometimes it repeats prophecies, you know, they say the same thing, and then they say it again, slightly different, but it's really the same thing. It's because these things happen more than one. History repeats itself, and right now, it's repeating itself with you. You're back in Rome again. And we talked about that in the two earlier shows, how the parallels between what we're doing in America today and the parallels of the Roman Empire are uncanny, just amazing. And the Roman Empire was just a reflection of Babylon. And you're back in Babylon. You're back in the bondage of Babylon. And it says, come out of them, my people. But how do you come out? You turn left at Poughkeepsie? No. You change your ways, and they will cast you out. 2 Corinthians 6:16, it says, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? The early Christians were persecuted because they would not eat of the civil altars of Rome, because those tables were set by those men who exercised authority one over the other. Jesus calls them the fathers of the earth. And we're not to pray to them. But if you go to our article on the perfect law of liberty, or the article on the Galatians, or the article on wantonness or licentiousness, you see lines of people there, all overweight. Everybody I see in the line on this picture is overweight. And I just pick a random picture. I didn't pick it because everybody was overweight. And they're all sitting there, or standing, in line, waiting for their benefits that are going to be given to them by the wolf who went out and took a bite out of your neighbor for you so that they could give you these benefits. But your neighbors have run dry, so now they're borrowing the money to give you these benefits. Now, the solution is simple. Turn around, change your thinking. Gather together in a network. Go to our website, join the network. I don't know whether you're a good person or not. I know a lot of the people that are in our network are not really all that good. Some of them are, some of them aren't. That's the way it's going to be. But we have a destination and a direction. The real destroyers of liberties are the givers of gifts, gratuities, and benefits. And really, they bestow those benefits without righteousness, without a moral criteria. You know, Isaiah says in 40, verse 21, have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? They credit John the Baptist with saying the same thing. What did he say? This is how you take care of one another. If you have extra, you share. You need to be organized in the way you do that. But you have to organize yourself, because the ministers of God's kingdom don't exercise authority. We don't make you do anything. We're not a cult. What you're in is a cult. The word cult, the Roman imperial cult, that's where the word comes from. You were in that. You had to pay in. You had to serve it. But then they would take care of you. And what they do is they take care of the people who should not be taken care of. And the people who really need to be taken care of, they do nothing for them. And so, anyway, what we have to do is turn around and go the other way. That's what we're trying to teach people how to do. And until next week, may there be peace upon your house, and may God be with you. Until then, God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.